Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. What does the Bible instruct us to do when a relationship is no longer safe or sustainable? Our guest today, Lisa Turkhurst, deeply understands these hard questions in the midst of relational struggles. But after thousands of hours of counseling intensives and extensive theological research that transformed the way she defines healthy relationships, Lisa is now more committed than ever to loving people well without losing the best of who she is.
Lisa Turkhurst is president of Proverbs 31 Ministries and the author of more than 25 books, including It's Not Supposed to Be This Way and the number one New York Times bestsellers, Forgiving What You Can't Forget and Uninvited. Her new release coming this month, November 2022, is titled Good Boundaries and Goodbyes, Loving Others Without Losing the Best of Who You Are. As president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, Lisa and her team have led millions to make their walk with God an invigorating journey through encouragement for today, daily devotions, the first five Bible study app, online Bible studies, the Proverbs 31 Ministries podcast, social media channels, speaker, writer training, and more. Each year, Lisa speaks at more than 40 events across North America. She has a passion for equipping women to share their stories for God's glory through Proverbs 31 Ministries annual She Speaks Conference and through the ministry's membership site for writers, Compel Training. And Lisa has five grown kids with families of their own and three beautiful grandchildren. So good to have you with us today, Lisa.
Thank you. That was a lot. That's a long bio.
Yeah, it was a lot. We want everyone to know all the things that you're up to. There's a lot of pieces that people can go to. We'll have that in our show notes. I love it.
So, pretty much you're just awesome.
Yeah,
right?
You're awesome, Lisa. But where do we start? Because you have been doing so many things over the years, and we've been working with leaders for close to 20 years in the confidential spaces of the counseling office and the coaching and organizational development. But you've been having to do this on more of a global level. You have a public audience. And I think you've been sharing a lot of your story along the way, but there might be some in our audience that don't understand where you're speaking from today. So what part of your story can you help us understand that'll lay a foundation as we talk about boundaries and when is it time to say goodbye?
Yeah, absolutely. So wherever there is relational chaos, it's usually an indication that there's a lack of healthy boundaries. And over the past 8 years, I've experienced a lot of relational chaos. And I think it's because I had been dancing with some dysfunctions in some pretty important relationships in my life. And we get used to our own dysfunctions and start calling things normal that just are not healthy. And so I think over time, what happens, I think to a lot of people, and certainly what happened to me, is I got to this place where I just thought, I can't keep doing this. And anytime we hit a spot where we say, I can't keep doing this, or this isn't working, or I can't take it anymore, anytime we're saying things like that, it's usually because the relational tension and the dysfunctions have reached a fever pitch to the point where what we are saying is true. It's not sustainable. And instead of just easily walking away or just shoving other people away because I was, you know, maybe too afraid to do that, to like fix it, or I didn't know how to fix it, which had been a pattern in the past. You know, if things got too hard and got too confusing, then I would just say, you know, like I literally can't take it anymore and kind of walk away. But I wanted to press in, and I wanted to not keep repeating the patterns that had been haunting some really crucial relationships. I had some of my most significant relationships go in a healthier direction because of boundaries. And then I also had to say the hardest goodbye I've ever had to say, because I determined that the only healthy way forward was to recognize that health can't bond with unhealth. And either I was going to have to get unhealthy, or I was going to have to change the dynamics so that I could surround myself with a healthy environment. And so that led me to understand finally that I wasn't walking away. I was accepting reality of an unsustainable relationship. And that, I think that's part of what can be challenging about boundaries, is that changing a relationship dynamic and determining that the relationship isn't healthy, and recognizing that both people have to contribute to the health of a relationship. When you start drawing healthy boundaries, then that relationship's going to change. And sometimes those changes will cost you a lot. And it's hard. And if we fear that someone will walk away from us or someone will reject us, if we draw healthy boundaries, chances are that person will eventually walk away from us or reject us anyhow. So our real choice is to say, how long are we willing to suffer? Because we will suffer where there's a lack of boundaries and the presence of dysfunction.
Well said, Lisa, and thank you for sharing the bits and pieces of your journey. It's so personal, and yet you're speaking truth that's universal. You know, you said in order to stay in certain relationships, it means we've got to become unhealthy to keep the relationship going, or we have a choice of becoming healthy and then letting go or saying goodbye to that relationship. That's profound and a hard place to get to for all of us, especially those of us who say we love Jesus, right? And I think there's just a lot of misleading, confusing ideas around boundaries and scripture and what Jesus thinks about boundaries. Talk about those a little bit, just some of the toxic things that we have, we believe is as healthy or biblical, but maybe aren't.
Yes. Well, I'm very careful to encourage people when they're thinking through good boundaries and goodbyes to take steps, not leaps. So we don't want to leap too quickly that, you know, and start labeling people like this person is toxic and this person, you know, did this one time and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm determining that they're an unhealthy person. So, you know, we don't want to do that because there's a big mistake. There's a big difference between a mistake that we all make. We all make mistakes. And patterns of behavior that become destructive. And all relationships have their difficulties, but they shouldn't slip into the category of not just being difficult, but being destructive. And where that fine line is between difficult and destructive is something you're probably going to need other people to help you determine. You can know it inside that this isn't right, and you can sometimes discern that changes need to be made, but I wouldn't go at it alone. I would have some trained professionals to step in and help you recognize what's really going on here. Because if you don't identify the real problem, you may be trying to solve some of the symptoms of the problem. But if you don't get to the source of the problem, then lasting changes and healthy dynamics can't possibly come in and flourish. So I just say all of that to say, really, everything that I share in the book and everything I'm going to share here on the podcast, this is descriptive, not prescriptive. I'm not going to tell you what to think, but I'm going to give you a lot to think about. So here we go into boundaries. Like I said, where there's the presence of relational chaos, there's usually a lack of boundaries. And I think you can think about the challenges of a boundary in a couple of categories, especially for Christians. Number one, we don't want to disappoint people. Number two, we have certain verses ringing in our head, like lay down your life for your friends, right? And then we also don't necessarily have the biblical confidence to establish healthy boundaries. And so one of the main purposes of my book is to give people the understanding that boundaries aren't just a good idea, they're actually God's idea. And to tackle some of those verses that have been weaponized against someone trying to draw a boundary and unpack in context the real theological meaning of those verses, maybe how they've been taken out of context, and then what is the right theological meaning. And then also to provide scripts for people, because it's not just about establishing boundaries. We have to communicate those boundaries if we're going to consistently implement those boundaries. So, yeah, I think all of those things are very important. And here's one of the most fascinating facts is God established even the foundation of the world using boundaries. He separated the light from the darkness. Mm-hmm. He separated the land from the sea. This is where this begins, and this is where this ends and another begins, right? And so he even implemented boundaries in how he established creation. And then in the first recorded conversation between God and man, of all the topics that God could have chosen to be the focal point of that first conversation, God chose a boundary. And the way that God communicated that boundary was in freedom for the sake of protection. And he was crystal clear about the boundary, and he also established a consequence if the boundary was violated. And so right from Genesis 1 and 2, we find a lot of confidence that boundaries aren't just a good idea, they're God's idea. And throughout Scripture, there are so many ways that God instructs us and models for us and shows us that boundaries are his idea and healthy boundaries are necessary.
Now, Lisa, thank you for sharing this. You know, one of the things that get me curious, I'm sure our audience is thinking about this now more practically and think running their minds through the scriptures, those that are familiar with the scriptures. Can you provide an example of one of the verses that maybe just sort of is used and weaponized, right? And then that and misused, if you will. Mm-hmm. And just perspective that can be helpful, right? Like give us a classic.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the verse I mentioned, you know, aren't we supposed to lay down our life for our friends? And, you know, to that, I would say, let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus did lay down his one holy life here on earth for the sake of other people, but he did not do it to enable bad behavior. He did it for a high and holy purpose. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that enabling someone is not the same as loving someone. There's such a big difference there. And if we continue to enable someone where they are not able to experience some of the natural consequences of the poor choices that they may be making, or flip that around, if someone else enables us so that we don't experience the natural consequences of poor choices, is that person really doing us a favor? Or are they preventing growth that needs to happen so that we can become a healthy person? And I would say enabling is not the same as loving someone. We are to love other people, but God never called us to enable other people.
I just love this conversation with Lisa. Boundaries and knowing when relationships are healthy or not sustainable any longer because of their unhealth is such a vital place for us to guide our daughters. That's why I created Courageous Girls. It's a place for us to practice with our daughters from their second grade all the way through high school, to gather with other moms and daughters in small groups and be intentional about teaching our girls what God's Word says about our relationships with Him
with others, with one another, and we're practicing this over and over and over. I have been working with so many women at the end of their marriages and in the difficulties of unhealthy, toxic relationships. And like I admit in this podcast, I have hung in there too long myself. And so I want to pass this on. I want to help us understand that God is a God of boundaries and how to do that well, how to do that with wisdom. You can learn more at mycourageousgirls.com. Or if you're interested in those one-to-one guides, you can go to cpguides.org. And if you just want to learn all about what we're up to, you can check it more out at taramatson.com, where I am sharing with you everything from my book, Courageous, to these courses, as well as how to start your own group, your own Courageous Girls group with other moms and daughters in your community. Let's do this. Let's raise up a generation of girls who know how to have a healthy relationships, who know they are loved, and they love others well.
Yeah, well said. And it makes me think about even Jesus's choice to do that versus the maybe the voice in our head of a have to, because, you know, and I always am bringing that to the forefront in terms of Jesus's choice to lay down his life and sometimes the weaponizing, especially as Christians who we want to love God, we want to obey, all those things. It's not a have to, and that's where it gets dangerous. So I love what you're saying. Okay, speak to the person. I have a tendency, my own personality, my wiring, my story, to hang in there too long, Lisa, where I'm like, okay, there's more I could do. Maybe we call it codependent, maybe we call it enabling, but I just know I'm also a long-suffering personality. I'm a problem solver, and I have high tolerance for hard, good, bad, it's just there. So speak to someone like me who is saying, what does it really look like when I finally get to that place where now I know it's not loving, I need to have the good goodbye. Walk us through, how does that process look and feel when it's time to set the boundary?
Well, first of all, I want to say you and I are cut from the same cloth in that way, because I am long-suffering and I have a high tolerance for hard as well. And you know, I think I could look back on some relationships and say, wow, you know, why did I hang in there so long? And I'm sure there were noble reasons, but then there were also some codependent reasons as well. And so when we know better, we do better. And I think it's important as we get more educated about what is appropriate for a healthy relationship and what is not appropriate for a healthy relationship. Again, when we know better, we do better. So that's where we're responsible to pay attention to red flags or even full-on fires. You know, I also have the tendency to wait until something's a full-on fire before I tilt my head and go, huh, that flag was kind of red, wasn't it? So let me give you a couple of indications. When you feel like you have to start minimizing the best of who you are to cover up for the worst of who someone else is, that's a major red flag. When you feel like you have a conversation with someone else and this other person is so quick to flip the script so that you never get to address the issue you're originally trying to address because they're so quick to flip it and show you how everything is your fault, that's a major red flag, you know? And I would also say when you lay facts before someone and they deny that those facts are truth, or they say what's really common right now, well, that doesn't line up with my truth. Well, you right. may being true to the most unhealed, unholy version of yourself, but facts are facts, you know? And so I think we have to be very careful not to let someone in the therapeutic world, they would call it gaslight you. When you know that something is true, but someone else tells you it's not true, and you start feeling like the crazy one, major red flag. And when I say red flags with all of these things, a reason to pause and a reason to get someone who's professionally trained to help you sort through some of these hard relationship dynamics. Because what we're looking for again, is not just evidence of a difficult relationship, but has that difficult relationship slipped into becoming a destructive relationship? And when things start to become destructive, that's where we may need to consider, for our safety and our sanity, some separation. Now, remember, I encourage people, take steps, not leaps. And so there are steps that can be taken. And of course, you need to assess, are you safe? And if you are absolutely not safe, then maybe you need to make a leap. But, you know, there's a spectrum of severity and there's a spectrum of occurrence. How often is this happening and what is the severity of this happening? And that often will help you discern, is this a difficulty, a mistake, or is this destruction and it's a pattern? And then I always encourage people, if you get to that place and you've sought wise counsel and you have given what you have to give and you really have fought for that relationship, then our words frame our reality. And for me, the hardest thing for me to do was to somehow make peace that I was going to walk away from that relationship. But it occurred to me one day, I'm not walking away from this relationship. I'm actually just accepting reality that this has become an unsustainable relationship. And then I think the grieving process begins, and it all is such a process.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you write about five factors you hope people remember when implementing healthy boundaries. Let's talk about those.
There's so many factors that need to be considered when drawing healthy boundaries, but one factor I think is a heart check that we would be really wise to consider. Are we drawing this boundary to attempt to control another person, to manipulate another person, or have our needs and desires from this person shifted into demands of this other person and unrealistic expectations of this other person? And so we have to do a heart check. What is our motivation in drawing this boundary? And when we think through our motivation for drawing the boundary, we have to be very honest with ourselves. And if we feel like we're not able to be completely honest, then find a trusted friend who can help you see what maybe you're missing. And so I do think it's really important for us to check our heart motives. But if we are drawing this boundary not to control or manipulate another person, but if we are drawing this boundary so that we can keep the best of who we are front and center in that relationship, and if we're drawing that boundary to seek the health of that relationship, and if we're drawing the boundary so that we can seek each other's highest good, then that boundary is going to cost us something. And we have to make peace with what that boundary could potentially cost us. And here's where things sometimes fall apart for me. So confession, are you ready for this?
We're ready.
Okay. I used to say, boundaries are hard for me because I struggle with people pleasing. And I think maybe other people would say that too. You guys do not have to confess if you don't have this issue. But I do. But as I poked around my people pleasing tendencies, I started to recognize that I wasn't people pleasing just to try to make that other person happy all the time. I was people pleasing and trying to make that person happy because they were giving something to me that I felt I couldn't be okay in this world if I didn't get that from them. And we will always desperately want from other people what we fear we will never get from God. And so, again, another place to do some self-examination, you know, around this whole notion of why am I drawing this boundary? So I don't know if that resonates with you, but I'll let that sit right there.
I think it dropped the mic for me, and it's so true and consistent in our own stories. Well, I'll speak for myself, Jeff, but in our stories and with those we walk with, I think you're saying it right to the key of, do I trust that God can provide that, or can I live with the cost of this and be okay? Because sometimes God doesn't just meet that need, but we're still okay because he's with us. And those questions are really important and kind of help us get to the place where we can finally say, it's time for this healthy boundary. I love that.
When we thinking about being a healthy person, you know, and being a healthy leader, we advocate in Living Wholehearted about what we say, wholehearted leaders. One barometer that seems to be true, I was just talking to somebody yesterday about this, and it just hit, the light bulb really went off. It's like, yes, they gave words to what they had been feeling, is that wholehearted leaders are people that are becoming more whole in this process, are no longer trying to get their needs met in unhealthy ways. And you're describing that, Lisa, here in this space. What is the heart motive? What is the examination of the heart? Why am I doing this, setting of this boundary? And it's others focused, but it's also, there's a self-focus in that space that I would have the right motive before we set a boundary. And that we would not be, we would continue to grow in not needing to get our needs met in unhealthy ways. Mm.
Yeah. Lisa, you're giving so many beautiful, key, wise pieces here. And you'll have to get the book to get more of the in-depth. And it's called Good Boundaries and Goodbyes, Loving Others Without Losing the Best of Who You Are. I would love to ask you a leadership question, though, before we close today. And I just, knowing how many years you've walked leading millions in lots of different ways. I mean, I know that's sobering to think about as you pause, but what would be something you wish you knew as an emerging or beginning leader that you know now with all this wisdom you're holding and you're passing on to the next generations? Maybe leave us with one last tip there, or just word of wisdom for that younger leader.
Absolutely. I think if I were to go back and speak to my younger leader self, I would say, be honest about where your strengths are and don't be afraid to invite people who are better equipped to handle the areas where you don't feel as able to carry that responsibility. For example, at Proverbs 31 Ministries, I'm really good at creating content. I'm really not good at establishing budgets and crunching numbers and keeping up with all the details necessary to run the finances of a large organization. So it was important for me early on to recognize that for a season, I may have to do that, because sometimes when you're first starting something, you have to wear all the hats. And so to be a responsible person starting up an endeavor, you may have to do that. But at some point, we need to invite people who are smarter than us to the table. And I decided early on I was not going to be intimidated by that. And as a matter of fact, the older I get, the more desire I have to never be the smartest person in the room. Because the minute that I start feeling like I'm the smartest person in the room, then I'm short-circuiting the brilliance that other people could bring into what we're trying to accomplish. And I want to surround myself with people, not just who say yes and no to my vision, but who bring their own God-given talents and brilliance to contribute to the vision. Because I think there's strength in that collective submission to the Lord's mission before us.
Thank you. Good word. Such a good word. Well, thank you for your time, Lisa. As we're closing up, is there any last word of encouragement you want to leave with our audience, and especially as we think about these good boundaries and goodbyes?
I would say love should be what draws us together, not what tears us apart. And if you're in a situation where the very thing that you desperately want to connect with other people, and that is a real sense of love. But if you're being torn apart in the process, then don't try to go at it alone. Tell another person who you determine is a safe person in your life and get the help you need. My counselor often says we're as sick as our secrets. And so if we have things that are areas of our life that we're too afraid to invite other people in, then we're going to stay as sick as our secrets. But it's not betraying someone that you're in relationship with to implement the Matthew 18 principle. And that is, go tell another person and ask that person to help you. And then go back to the person that's potentially hurting you. And if they don't listen, then go get more people. But just don't go at it alone.
Well, the book is Good Boundaries and Goodbyes, Loving Others Without Losing the Best of Who You Are. And Lisa, tell our audience other ways that they can find more about you and about the ministry that you do.
Well, my name is a little complicated, so but you can find me on social media at Lisa Turkhurst. And if you just do the at symbol L-Y-S-A, hopefully there's not too many Lisas that spell their name that way, and I'll pop up. And then you can get the book wherever books are sold.
Thank you, Lisa. And all that information will be in the show notes. It's such a gift to have you with us today.
Being a leader isn't easy. Being a wholehearted leader means to learn how to have healthy boundaries and model that to all who you follow. From your kids to your employees and followers online. If you want to know more about how to grow as a wholehearted leader and learn more about our resources, check out livingwholehearted.com or follow us on Instagram at living_wholehearted.
Thank you, Lisa. What a gift to have you with you and with us. Thank you for the time that you've given today and for all the ways you keep giving resources and the content that you're doing and being obeying what God has created in you and through you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor to have been with you guys.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.